Hello, everybody. Welcome to my birthday party. Yes, I am officially 54 today in the Netsphere. We were just discussing the fact that I actually use my birthday as the 1st of April on anything that doesn't deserve to know my real birthday. So, there you go. It's my birthday. Joining me to discuss all of the big tech stories that have gone on today are an Illuminous panel. They're just superb, mate. I can't believe it. We've packed it out. Five people. Starting us off, top left, Mr. Grant. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm great, mate. I'm great. I'm here as usual.
Have you had a good week?
I've had a good week. I've been teaching all week, so I've done my class for a customer. So that's nearly at an end. Well, it's going to drag over into next week because of Easter, but otherwise it's been good fun. So, yeah, been at home.
Excellent. Have you got a nice bank holiday weekend planned?
As far as we can do, yeah. No, we can't go anywhere much good, but I shall be seeing family and doing, seeing what family we can, chats and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah.
Cool. Well done, mate. Next to him, Jeffrey, who was on time this evening.
I know. I sacrificed making tea just to be on time so I could be with you.
Liar. Mm. Watch out for that nose going out further and further and damaging your screen.
Oh, that's not my nose.
Well done. You were ready an hour early. That's the trouble.
That's true. Yeah, my tea was ready at 5 past the hour. So 55 minutes early.
Bad luck. You been well?
Yeah. Yep. And we should have interesting wildlife reports again soon because it's spring.
So what happens in spring? The lions come down and mingle at the local coffee shop, and
they do socially distanced, of course, and good. We have had a couple bear sightings already.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I mean, there's the yearly like mountain lion raccoon party, like that's the end of the year.
Yeah, the trash pandas have a big party at the dumpster back behind my place.
Yeah, exactly.
When the mountain lions and the trash pandas get together, do the pandas come off worst?
Typically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. As it should be.
It's a red, white, and black party.
That's right. Yes.
Excellent. Next to you, Patrice. How you doing, missus?
Doing good. Doing good.
Now, have you actually done any work this week? Because I know it's a bridging month for you.
funny story. Yesterday I learned, like in Germany, like Good Friday is a public holiday. In Austria, it's not. And we had all planned to be there tomorrow.
So you got to go to work tomorrow?
Yeah, we have to do work tomorrow. But it's really funny. Like in our, like everywhere it said we have the day off. And it's not true.
Impressive.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, why is Austria, why is Germany doing it and Austria's not? Like, that makes no sense.
Well, I'd annex them if I were you.
Austrians are just rebels.
Yeah, let's just do that.
They need you taken in hand, mate. Absolutely. have you had a good week? Other than that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always struggling after the daylight savings, like time changes. I don't know why, but like
I can travel
halfway across the world and have no jet lag, but that 1 hour just messes me up every time.
Yeah, I suppose.
So
I don't know. I don't get that,
but no, it's fine.
Okay, fair good enough. Week. Rich, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm knackered, actually. But I'll be honest. So if I'm quiet tonight, I'm knackered.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired. I've got to say, it's been a weird week for that kind of stuff. The heat's taking it out of me, and then a bit of cold.
What the hell is it playing at? What was it? Was like 22 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
And today it's taking the piss. This.
And snow, and Sunday and Monday.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly, snow.
So you've got Colorado weather. I mean, we've been alternating between really warm and sunny, and then the next day it's cold and snowy, and it's just flip-flopping back and forth. And I think, let me look, yeah, I think today is the warm day and cold tomorrow, and then like summer on the weekend. Welcome to Colorado.
Well, we had people out getting red marks from sunburn yesterday. People walking around in shorts. There was a girl on TikTok posted a thing that my daughter showed me. She said, explain that you're British without using the word British. And she just took a picture of herself sunbathing and went, it's March. It was like,
there's some truth.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And it is, though. It's sun's out, guns out, definitely in the UK. Yeah. And then there was pictures last night of three of friends of mine who got together in a garden and were sitting drinking whiskey till the early hours around a fire pit, and it was that mild. Today's been quite cool, a bit blowy, and it's getting worse going over the week.
There's definitely something to that. I mean, I remember like one of the first times I was in the UK, it was like, I want to say, March, April time frame. It was like 13, 14 degrees, like I was freezing and whatever. And I saw people, like women walking around in like summer dresses and like dudes in shorts and flip-flops and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell?
Mate, 13 degrees is tropical here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
13 degrees is pretty nice. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, in centigrade, not Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
13 Fahrenheit, bit brisk, even for me.
Well, 13 Fahrenheit here, if the sun is out, that's light jacket weather.
Because the humidity's down, that's why.
and we have so little protection from the sun because thinner atmosphere.
Right, high up, yeah. Last but by no means least, Mullerbiker, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm not tired. It's really hard work being retired.
Been out on your bike.
Wonderful, mate. Makes you sick, doesn't it?
All right, moving on. Give me one of those shows.
I did a nice cycle ride, though. I did about 45 miles and had a look at Great Bar and Great Bar Hall and the first Birmingham Reservoir before we built Minworth Reservoir and then before we built the Elan Valley.
Knowing Great Bar Hall sounds like a prison, not an attraction.
Actually, it's the home of the Scott family from, Scott Arms.
Area.
But it did actually, when they moved out, it was actually an asylum.
That answers you're not a lot of questions.
But then it burned down in the 1930s, I think.
Most asylums do.
I don't think he heard that, Ian.
Usually helped by the residents.
What? Steve, I think you would have felt right at home then if it was an asylum.
What?
Yes.
What?
I don't care, was he?
What?
Right, biggest stories of the week then. Come on, boys, who's got the best story today?
Let's see.
I've got a space one.
You've got a space.
How did I manage to get a story in first?
I've got a link for mine.
You're fast-fingered, mate. Fast-fingered.
That's it.
Oh, hang on. Oh, sign into YouTube. No, bugger off.
That'll make a noise on my screen.
All right, so here's the deal. Vuli, they make trampolines, and they've actually put together an absolutely revolutionary new technology, which has amazing application potential outside of the entertainment world. They've created a zero-gravity trampoline.
Oh, that's brilliant. How have they done that, then? What's the technology behind that?
So they're not going into all the details, and I can understand why, because they don't want other people stealing their zero-G tech. But it uses this series of anti-gravity generators that go all around the trampoline, and then you have a vest that you wear that has these special modules in it that interact with the anti-gravity generators.
So that's going to be electromagnetic, though, surely.
Something like that, but it's safe for people that have pacemakers. So whatever they're doing, it's safe for as far as I can tell, anyone. And so the actual trampoline, part of the trampoline in this case, now just becomes like a little landing pad for you.
I guess a launch platform from landing pad, yeah.
Yeah, So you can actually have a true literal zero G experience just a few feet off the ground while everyone around you is having, you know, a full gravity experience.
Do you know what I find amazing? It's just like you've come up with this revolutionary technology that is mind blowing, but you've still got to step up into it.
To be fair, this is the first generation of this. Okay. So
fair point.
You know, they may be able to address the step up into it part later. But you know, this is amazing technology, and I'm assuming that at some point they'll start licensing it out to other companies, and we'll see this end up in things. You know, like, can you imagine having a drone that is not bound to the forces of gravity?
Actually, or, that would be because then you get in the way from, you know, the propeller risk.
Like a train or an airplane.
Well, you're getting away from the propeller risks then, aren't you? So the propellers are, I mean, I've got several scars on my arm from when I was building drones for myself years and years and years ago. And the propellers are the big risk. If you can get rid of the propellers, then you're absolutely laughing. And then you haven't got to worry about it dropping out of the sky as well. So the risk of that goes.
Yeah. I mean, and you can land anywhere, like in a big city, like I don't know, New York, like Fifth Avenue, New York. You can just land in the middle of it if you want.
I mean, at the moment, the technology there looks quite cumbersome, Jeff. You've got those large pods around the outside. I'm struggling to think of another application where it would work, though, going forward now.
How about satellite launches?
I was thinking that.
I don't know, you get the acceleration there, will you? That's the trouble. It's all, satellite launches are all about the speed. You've got to hit that 17,500 mile per hour mark. Otherwise, you can't achieve more of it.
But what if you could get your satellite to a much higher altitude before you actually have to kick in engines with thrust?
Yeah, get out of the atmosphere.
You'd be able to cut down on the amount of fuel and overall cost of launching satellites.
Or you could just scale it up.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, this is the first generation of this.
I suppose the other thing
it'll improve and get smaller.
Yeah, I mean, being anti-gravity, the thing is, I suppose, the size is offset by the fact that it is an anti-gravity device. Therefore, it's working against the thing that is making it heavy, anti-weight. Sorry, Rich, you were going to say something there.
Can you shag on it?
You know. I'm hoping they'll send me a review unit so I can test this and let you know.
I just think that, well, mate,
just where my mind went with it. Sorry.
No, but in history, as the human being ever found a surface it couldn't have sex on.
That's true.
I mean, there is no head of a pin. There we go. I mean,
yeah, I'm thinking worst case scenario, you just need a couple straps to keep from drifting apart and go to town.
You could put Velcro on the front of that pad, and that'll keep you together, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't
Repent Gillette have a go in one of the vomit comets?
Yeah.
What, at having sex?
Yes. Repent Gillette and Penn and Teller. He had a go on one of the vomit comets. I remember reading something or...
Hey, hang on. Can we not confuse this? He had sex with Penn and Gillette.
No. Someone did.
So Penn tried to have sex with his partner... In a vomit comet?
Yes.
Haven't they got safety staff there? I mean, that would be fun to try, but...
It'd be sort of like being in the front row of a Gallagher show where everyone needs to have plastic all over them because stuff's going everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, true.
In zero G, that's only going to get sticky.
I've got a question, Jeff.
Go on.
Jeff, if you reverse the process, would you be able to use it on spaceships to provide gravity?
Ooh.
Oh,
they didn't address that.
That's far beyond I thought you were going to come out with, Muller. Sorry, mate.
Reverse the polarity and then it will work, right?
There you go. Yes, just reverse the polarity. That's brilliant.
Well, that gets you past a lot of problems to do with bone degeneration and failure of organs and that kind of stuff, doesn't it? Elongation, eyes changing, shape, face.
But you just put them on the ceiling instead of the floor.
I'm thinking there's always an equal and opposite effect to these things. So if there's on the one side no gravity, maybe on the bottom of the thing there's more gravity.
So you're saying outside of that envelope where the thing is, if you're wearing the vest, you get crushed.
Yeah.
Right.
Like going to gym.
I think we're being silly now, boys. They're not going to do that, are they?
In the video, no one's standing close to the trampoline, so.
That's a good point.
But I'm wondering, if you could use it to create a gravitational field for a spacecraft, could you then not also use it to create a variable gravity field so that you could counteract the forces of acceleration inside the spacecraft? Mm-hmm. So then you could launch a ship and accelerate it at a crazy rate and not crush the people inside the spacecraft.
Isn't that the Heisenberg effect, isn't it, in Star Trek?
Mm.
Yeah, they have inertial dampeners.
They have an inertial dampener called the reverse Heisenberg effect all the time.
Yeah, the Heisenberg
effect
technology they're using is for the transporter.
No. I think the Heisenberg effect is about not getting splattered against the back wall when you accelerate. I think.
I'm giving it maximum G's.
I just thought they made drugs from cough mixture.
Yeah, I thought it was the Heisenberg compensator, and that accounted for random variations in the data stream when converting someone into a matter stream for transporter.
There is an effect, yeah, right. I'm sure.
Right, I just looked at what the Heisenberg uncertainty principle actually is, and I don't think we're ready for this.
No, that's cats and two with being dead and undead at the same time.
Dead cats.
That's like saying, look, watching this show and trying to work out if the show's being serious or not serious at the same time.
Yeah,
it's just not possible.
I presume we're always serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
totally.
You're right. Bob's impressed with us. He's saying, I didn't realize I was listening to such a bunch of physicists. I think physicist is not the word you're looking there for, Bob. But, cheers, mate. I'll take it.
I've got an A-level in physics, I'll have you know.
Have you?
Only just.
I used to sit in physics, right? We had Mr. Hopkins, and we had a great guy called Mr. Hicks. And the only reason I chose it as a subject for my options, because Mr. Hicks was possibly the best teacher the world has ever seen. He was just one of these guys. He could have recited a dictionary and you'd have loved it. He was just a brilliant, brilliant teacher. I'm like, oh God, I want to do physics. I put physics down. And they got a guy called Hopkins afterwards, who was actually quite a nice bloke and had quite a good dry sense of humour, but couldn't fucking teach in it at all. And I got a U. It was unclassified. They didn't have a mark. I didn't even get an F. I got a mark that was so low they couldn't classify it.
That's what I got in chemistry.
You mean you got your name wrong on the form?
Yeah, that effectively, the people who spelt their names correctly got more points than me. great story, Jeff. I can't. I mean, what's the price? Have we got any price point on that? Are they still? It's still just concept.
Well, I mean, from the video, you can see they have working units. So, and it's supposed to be coming soon, but I don't think they've actually set a price yet. But there's going to be two price points, one for the full package where it's the trampoline and the anti-gravity units, and then a separate price point if you want to upgrade an existing trampoline to have anti-gravity. And so you can get this as an add-on module for an existing trampoline.
I hadn't thought of that because it was obvious, wasn't it, that wasn't to do with the trampoline. The trampoline was just the surface to land on. Yeah, absolutely. I'd forgotten. Mm-hmm.
The trampoline bit doesn't strike me as the expensive component here.
No. Good point.
Probably not.
Now I feel stupid.
what do you mean, Phil?
Phil. the Electric Avenue.
Yes.
Visitors will have to hire plug-in cars to travel on famous routes. Is this? Tell us more, Ian. Is this like a preservation thing?
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, this year is they're holding the COP26 climate conference in Scotland, and so as part of that, they've decided they're going to, and they've also worried about the amount of people staying in the UK this year on holiday are going to flood Scotland. That they want to try and keep sort of numbers down, particularly around the very famous NC500, which is up near Inverness, and it travels around the top of Scotland, if you're not familiar with it. It's a fabulous road, and I still haven't done it, but I may yet get to do it, because my son lives in Inverness.
Yeah.
And and a big duff buggers up in Inverness now. And the route going up from there is wonderful. And so the Highland Council and Visit Scotland have tapped up Elon Musk, and they've got a deal. So they'll get, and typically Scottish, they only want white and blue ones, no red ones. There's a lovely quote in there, which they clearly, in there about, that we're not daft. I'm not having a picture of someone driving red, white and blue cars across Scotland. So they're going to be white, and they're going to be white and blue, and you can hire a Tesla. And then you can travel the route. They're also going to be capped at 60 miles an hour, so there's no one's going to get sort of any problems. We have no sort of doing ludicrous speed or any of that kind of thing.
Well,
and they're
going
to limit the range to about 180 miles. So they're going to try and sort of gear it in such a way that you'll be able to travel along. You'll get to a right. You'll get to arrive at sort of a hotel. You'll be able to stop at a hotel, charge your car up overnight, get ready, go on your next part. And then you'll go around this circular route back into Inverness again.
There's an image here that I'm showing on the feed, which is all the charging points they've put in. And there's a lot of charging points there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All the, and further coming down, I mean, in other news, they were talking about the A9, which is the main route up to Inverness. They're electrifying that over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. So the idea is Scotland is going to be very electric.
Mm. I mean, that's given really that cool. It's more or less a fixed route, is that going to be like self-driving then?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see anything about self-driving here. I think they're going to let you drive it, which, to be honest, is part of the experience if you're going to go on the NC500.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, but the views are impressive, aren't they? That's the whole point.
Great.
So it's like
hopping views, beautiful bits of. I mean, just look at the image at the top there. You've got the Kelesu Bridge and things like that. It's just epically gorgeous, sort of scenery after scenery. So if they do get the. I mean, it didn't say anything about they're doing the self-driving thing, but that would be interesting because you could sit there and hang your head out the window and take pictures.
I mean, here's a business idea for like people living in Scotland. Just offer like a driver service. Like you can just hire someone to drive you. But, I mean,
yeah,
that would be great. I would do that.
Well, it depends what the charges are, mate. I mean, from my experience of taxis in the north of Scotland, I used to work for... Atomic Energy Authority, and I used to fly up to Wick, and the taxis up there are not cheap. And I'm going back 20 years. So.
Well, I would assume if you were doing this, you'd be getting like a whole package, you know, like it's a tour or a holiday package where you get the car, you get the drive. And there's stops on the way so that you can spend the night and have nice catered meals.
Mm.
And so if you're doing it that way, then the price you're paying would probably be more reasonable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would still be expensive, but you'd be getting a lot more for it.
Scotland is worth it.
Oh, Scotland's definitely worth it.
Oh, mate, if you get on the A9... just that, you remember the Bond film Skyfall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a bit there where he pulls over at the side of the road with M and has a little bit of a chit chat and they have a moment, and then they get back in the car and drive on to Skyfall. That's the A9, which just goes through a fantastic valley.
I mean, the A9 is wonderful. When you come out of, so you leave sort of like Perth behind, and so you've got industrial normal Scotland, and as you travel up, the scenery changes and it goes from forest to mountains to forest again to greenery to plains and stuff. It's a fabulous drive. It takes a while to get up there. I've been up
and the
a couple
roads
of times
are,
now.
The roads are surprisingly well maintained up there as
well. Oh, yeah, the A9 is, again, that's another reason why
they're
the
not
potholed going
gravel
ahead.
Tracks. They're decent roads to drive on at a decent speed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're not restricted to 60, you can certainly fly through there. It's lovely. It's a lovely drive, and we did it summer before last up to Inverness to see Liam, and it was fantastic.
Looks like Muller's camera's close to crapping out. It hasn't done it yet, but we live in hope.
He's gone blurry. Space station.
No, we live in hope.
I suppose he's in black
and white.
He's actually
on Mars. You should know that.
I think it's a shocking story. That's all. That's why it's got crapping out.
Oh, very good.
Oh, dear. I mean, your camera should be in black and white, man.
It almost is.
The way it's going, it probably will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not far from failure. That's a great... Any prices, though, Ian? That's the thing. Any prices on this?
No, there's nothing. I was looking around to see if I could see something, because, I mean, I must admit, I'd go and see Liam and have another run round in a Tesla for a day or two. I'd quite enjoy that. But I couldn't. There's nothing on the... there's nothing on anything here. Although they are talking about it could be a blueprint for national parks in the USA, like Yosemite.
Oh, that's a good
idea. They're talking about extending the idea. They're talking about extending the idea out to the US.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, Yosemite, Rocky Mountain National Park, which is the one that's really close to me. Yeah. I mean, that would be a great place for that. They have so much traffic. And doing something like this, as a tourist thing.
Are they saying this is a prohibition, though, Ian, or is this, you could still be in a pile of smoky carbon guzzlers?
No, apparently not. You won't be able to drive around it unless you're in one of those electric cars.
Right, okay. So can you take your own electric car?
Because you'll see partway down the article, there's some whining from people who've got supercars that are complaining they can't go and play with their nice cars up in Scotland anymore.
Hey, yeah, Ian, is it true that this is run by the Proclaimers? Because they can...
They can walk 500 miles.
You do 500 miles and you can do 500
more. Silly. Yeah.
I mean, just imagine doing that in Arizona. I mean, you have all the sunlight that you want. The new Teslas with solar panels on the roof, they can just drive all day there.
Oh my God, you're right. You could just drive and drive. You would never have to stop to charge up again. And and if you're in southern Colorado, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah. It's a good idea, and we should introduce that.
I do like the fact that in a sensitive area that's of real natural beauty, you've got an opportunity to start cutting down on pollution and using some of the eco-friendly.
Something you want to protect anyway.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Great story, mate.
You know, really like here that would be really great, because we're having problems with the trees along the roads up in the mountains dying because of car pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
Good story. Patrice, talk us through your story.
Yeah, so you might have heard that a company called Volkswagen or VW has had a rough couple of years with some...
Lying about the emissions.
Scandals.
Yeah, lying.
Stuff going on.
Yeah, let's not flower the oyster, mate. It's lying about your emissions.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently, I mean, and I mean, this whole Nazi history and so on, that's still there. Since they're embracing electric cars, they have decided, at least in the US, where, their image is pretty bad.
It's very tainted, yes.
Very tainted. They're going to rename the brand to Volkswagen. Which is funny, because that's how most people actually, in the US, most people can't say Volkswagen anyway, so they just say Volkswagen. So it sounds the same, and it's a small difference, but I think it's going to make a great difference, and it shows the new direction that the company is going with.
It's a very clever play on words, but is it far enough away from the damaged brand? That's my only thought process. You're not disassociating yourself far enough away from Volkswagen, are you, so...
I think it's quite funny.
Is this because they're going into battery cars more?
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, my son, as I said, he lives up in Inverness. He's just taken delivery in ID4.
And?
He loves it. Great. Yeah,
great.
Which is the latest. That one hasn't been rebranded. I don't think, because they're not going to be over here. But that's the pictures of cars at the top of that story. He's just taken delivery a black one of those. He's very impressed with it up to now.
Yeah, so I think they should roll it out to the entire world. I mean, for now, they're doing it in the US, where, to be fair, it's probably the market where they would want to do that. But I think they should steer into it.
I mean, we've had some good stories tonight with some really good tech for once, instead of the boring crap that we normally end up with in the week. But this is a story where I think it's a bit damp in the sense that Volkswagen's brand is badly damaged. I mean, really badly damaged with all the stuff that's gone on. They've still got class action lawsuits pending for them. Mercedes have got class action lawsuits as well for claims about emissions and that kind of stuff, I think. And I just don't think this is far enough away from the damaged brand. They should have gone for something utterly different if they wanted to reclaim market. It's not going to happen with this.
What could have could they have gone with? That's the question.
Well, not Volkswagen.
Okay.
I mean, there's the
Jerry Mobile. Jerry Mobile.
The Jerry. No, steady on. I just think it's if you've got a damaged brand, you dump the brand. You don't try and do a clever play on words on it. It just doesn't work.
I mean, they could have switched languages and just rebranded as People's Car or something like that. And then people would be like, I want to go buy a Peep. Have you seen my new Peep? I have the new all-electric Peep.
That sounds very Chinese.
As long as it's got a really wimpy horn, that would totally work. Yeah, you want a really wimpy horn with that, though, that actually fits in with the brand description. It just peeps.
Like that?
It just peeps. Sounds like a little squeaky squeak. No, you know, do you remember when the cars, the horns you used to have on your bike? And they used to kind of just they kind of made a little noise as you sucked air back through the reed.
Be like Muller's chair.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Sound a bloody Muller's chair.
I mean, they could use all the emissions that they cheated on and just like push it through the horn now.
Allegedly. Yeah. Got to say allegedly. Yeah. Don't want to get sued. Allegedly. Good story.
I like the new cars, and I think I like the name. So I'm fine with it. I mean,
yeah, but you're
right. Like they could have gone even crazier.
But you're German, into the money. So, I mean, exactly. You're supporting, patriotically supporting your German firm. And I totally understand that and totally respect it, Bruce. But.
Yeah. No, I mean, I meant more, they're German, so they're not very creative. So.
Oh, easy. Aren't you German?
That's true. This is the country that had to hire Monty Python to come in and do a comedy show to show them how comedy works.
Yep. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
So yeah, I think this is probably the craziest thing that company has ever done. So yeah,
fair enough.
I don't think they could have come up with a better name.
Muller and Rich, have you got stories to put in?
I've got no link for mine.
Oh, okay. Well, then just talk us through it.
Well, it's basically it's a press release that was listed by NASA, and apparently they found single-use plastic on Mars. There's been a few. 2012, they found some plastic, but it turned out to be a part of the rover of Perseverance, was it? Was that the surviving one?
Perseverance is the new one.
Curiosity.
Anyway, yeah. Curiosity found some plastic, but it turned out to be a part that fell off Curiosity. But they found some more plastic yesterday. They did actually think there may be something that fell off the new rover, but it turns out it was it looks like after being analyzed that it's bits and pieces of single-use plastic like knives and forks, polymers used as tools and implements, and these are obviously used probably by maybe an ancient Martian civilization. Either that, or they've managed to get to Mars some other way. We don't know.
It could be. I mean, we've had a baguette in a Large Hadron Collider with a pigeon that had stopped it, gummed it up. So I fully believe NASA could leave a knife and fork in the rover. And don't forget it's just turned and dropped the helicopter thing, hasn't it? That's when it fell out, I reckon. Yeah. Clearly.
The items.
I'm not going for this alien stuff. Come on, for God's sake, that's just ridiculous. There's no way there's plastic knives and forks on Mars dropped by aliens.
Well, it didn't say that. Ancient civilizations. Let me just read it. Whilst it was difficult to ascertain what these items were, many are by their shape and size similar to typical plastic straws, forks, or stirrers found on Earth. Said Mission Control David Jones.
You know why you use straws?
It's Matt Damon. Hang on. Left his stuff there.
Yeah, that's Ian's putting Matt Damon's coffee cup. But I think this is more sensible is the fact that, you know, when you've got small nuts to hold, one of the best things you can have to screw them on in when you've got to get through a hole is you push the nut into a straw and then you can push it through the tight space onto the nut and start it off and then put your ratchet in. And that's all they've done, and they've left it in there. I don't believe for 1 second.
This is why you shouldn't have interns working on interplanetary probes.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way. It's just stupid. There's
you
no
mean someone left their cup on the rover?
Watch out. There's a Martian Humphrey about. Come on. You've brought some shit stories over the years, but this is one of them.
Could this be Elon Musk fucking with people in some way?
I don't know, but I know I've got editing now at 35 minutes. Thanks, Rich.
Have we checked whether there's any writing on it? Maybe it says Starbucks and it's actually like a marketing thing.
Oh, that would be, yeah, like Coke, yeah. Coke wanting to put their emblem on the bottom of the shoe for the first footprint on the moon.
Well, if you look in the green room, I'll put the email in there. If you look, the items are scattered across quite a large area. So it's
there is wind up there.
Sorry?
There is wind up there. It's not particularly strong, but there is wind.
Well, yeah.
I listened today. Have you heard the audio tapes? The Martian audio tapes?
Oh, yeah.
Like the rover driving and the water pump and stuff like that. And there's the one of the Martian windstorm that comes through. Really cool.
You know, I heard a thing on a podcast yesterday about why the sounds that we're hearing from the rover sound like they do. And, you know, like the thing with the wheels rolling and it's that high pitch kind of pinging sound as the metal rolls over the rocks. And it's because of the nature of the atmosphere. It's mostly carbon dioxide and it's very thin. And so what it does is it muffles the sound. So you know, it can't travel as far. And it also changes the pitch. So the sound we're hearing of the rover wheels would be completely different if we were listening to it on Earth, just simply because of the atmosphere.
So it would be really fun to put like a HomePod or something on Mars and then listen to music there, and it sounds completely different.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, do it before it's an obsolete product.
Yeah, nobody needs it anymore, so just send it to Mars.
Just send them to Mars.
Yeah, that's Elon's next thing. He's actually sending his unwanted HomePod into space on the next rocket.
But would a speaker work on Mars? It needs some sort of air pressure, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it would totally.
Of course it would. So. It's got an atmosphere.
The description that this specialist used, it would sound like everyone was a giant person, like they're over 7 feet tall. And so if you can imagine what you think voices would sound like for a giant, that's what it would be like.
The windstorm that I listened to today was like any windstorm that you'd hear on Earth, but quite light winds. But when you started hearing the rover move and they got rid of the background, you know, just from the microphone, it was actually very anechoic. It didn't sound like there was an awful lot of other noise up there, which it wouldn't, I know, but there was no echo particularly.
There are no children running around making noise?
No, you know what I'm saying? It's just like there was no other noises in the background. It wasn't very echoey or anything like that. It felt like it was a really close space, yeah.
And because you're really not going to get echoes because the sound can't travel that far. And you know, the reason the wind sounded the same is because wind doesn't have a sound. It's
going to blow past the mic.
It's the pressure against the microphone or your eardrums, whatever.
Changing.
So you're not actually hearing wind. You're hearing the pressure change.
Would you be able to talk to my lady up there?
That would be the same on Earth, right?
Yeah, totally the same, which is why the wind on Mars sounds the same as it does on Earth, because it doesn't have a sound.
Hey, lady, pick up a sample from the surface.
My mind.
If a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound kind of good
Well,
stuff?
Mate, guys,
look, a tree falls on Mars, doesn't make a sound.
Looking at the chat room are working on very low gravity at the moment. Very low gravity.
So clearly... some of the people in the chat room already have the zero gravity trampoline.
Clearly.
I didn't realize it was available yet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Rich, what's your story, mate?
Yeah, mine doesn't have a link either, unfortunately, because it was sort of an announcement made on Facebook. You probably have heard of Super Rare Games, who are they republish popular digital only games in physical form, and they do sort of super short runs of them, sort of 3,000 to 5,000 copies a bundle. They're pretty cheap first off, but if you don't get them straight away, they go for a fortune on eBay.
Right.
Apart from the ones I've got. What they've announced today, and unfortunately this is a lot of the way that a lot of game sales are going, they're going digital only now.
They're going digital only with games that they replicate from digital games into the physical form.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. That's a crazy
So video, give us an example of something that they've gone from digital to physical form that they're now putting back in digital.
Well, I can't, they've not announced what their first game is yet. So I don't know. But
it's probably Mario Kart or something like that.
Yeah. Well, they kind of work with smaller independent developers. You know, Mario Kart's doing all right. But I'm excited to see what they come up with. Although, I don't know, I wish they'd stayed with the physical. Maybe then other companies can come along and do physical releases of these digital games.
That's a good idea. They could do Tetris.
They could.
You know, even though it's sad to see them go from physical to digital, it makes sense. It's a natural progression because we have so many games that we want to play that it would just be cumbersome to take them with us everywhere. So if you convert them back to digital again, now you can take those and play them anywhere you go.
Exactly. I mean,
And with the hopes of like traveling soon, like with more and more people getting vaccinated and whatever, that's the perfect timing, right? I mean,
I don't know so much. I mean, me and my daughter, we love playing Ludo. You know what Ludo is? Home Run. Where you got like counters, you have to go round a circular board and get bang and up into the center spine. And if you land on your opponents, you can send them back to the home court, and they've got to get a 6 to get out. So Ludo. And we play that, and there's no way on God's green earth that would be as fun if we played it on a digital level, because it's, you know, you've got to, it's like we play it really quickly, so it's like slap the dice, dun 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 on the center, and it's in a little pop-up canopy in the center of the board. And I think that just wouldn't work.
I'm with you. No one's ever done a good digital version of Monopoly.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah,
because
you can't see
the shank screen, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can't steal. You can't.
It's also
I remember on was it Pinball Fantasy, Pinball Dreams? There was a button to shake the machine.
I remember that.
Oh, yes.
And you got a tilt if you did it too much.
Egg somewhere on like a Windows, what was it, 95? I want to say, where there was a pinball game, 95, 98, and it had a shake button.
Yeah. But you did get a tilt.
I remember ones having a shake button.
No, I remember one on the ZX Spectrum, and if you played with it too often, you got a tilt if you weren't careful. And it was a random number generator, I guess, in the background. But if you pressed it for too many times in sequence, it would have a variable amount, and you never knew when it was going to give you the tilt.
Skeuomorphic gaming.
It was still shit, don't get me wrong. Good stories tonight, boys. It's the first time this year we've had some actual decent stories. Really good. This show,
I agree. I think we nailed it.
We did.
I know you're trying to do the sponsors, and I'm ruining it for you. Sorry.
That's all right, mate. Go on, ruin it.
What's yeah. That? No, I'm really proud of us. I mean, we're done with
decent stories for a change.
Today.
Decent stories. Well done. This show and all the rest are brought to you by TSO Host. They are our supporters and sponsors, and Muller's going to creak all the way through their sponsors read. Buy a frigging mute button, dude. And they are superb. They give us servers that we can host stuff on and do loads of stuff with and keep all our stuff running, all the bandwidth that we use that we guys downloading every week. They've got some e-commerce stuff at the moment. It goes as low as £18 for your starter kit for e-commerce. Unbelievable prices. They've got wonderful stuff for WordPress in there from £12 a year, not a month, a year. So get yourself in there. Any of your hosting stuff, use BTN20 and you get 20% off the offer price. But as always, if you are a listener to BTN, it is your duty to get yourself out on the socials and site thanks at TSO Host for supporting out British Tech. That's all they want is the brand recognition. You've got to get out there and do that. Otherwise, we lose the support. And if we lose the support, then we go away, plain and simple. Bob's given up on us. He's off. And IMEN Max, they support us. They're brilliant as well. A Birmingham-based business here. We've got some secret news coming about them soon, but at the moment, they are just as they currently are. Just watch this space. We'll tell you more soon. If you have anything with an Apple logo on it that stopped working, send it to them. They will fix it. If you've got anything that you don't use with an Apple logo on it, give them a call. Send it to them. They'll probably give you something for it for spare parts, or they'll sell it on, and you can have some money in your pocket. Also, data recovery as well. And what's really cool about them is you send them your drive. If they can't recover it, they don't charge you. Really, really good firm. Got the right ethics about supporting customers rather than just taking the money. I'm so proud that we're associated with them. So please support them. Again, get yourself out on the socials and thank IMEN Max at British Tech. Time for the cool thing. Mr. Grant, start us.
Oh, good question. I'm not sure. Someone else while I find something cool.
Okay.
I haven't bought anything decent lately.
All right. Jeffrey, have you got a cool thing?
I do, and I'm torn because I found two really cool things, and it's hard to choose between them.
Well, Ian hasn't got one, so do both.
Okay, so here's my first one. Lego announced today that they have a new smart brick product coming out. And you know how I am about Lego. I am so excited about this. It uses artificial intelligence, so when you get close to stepping on Lego bricks on the floor, they automatically move out of the way of your foot.
Does that mean that you've got to rebuy everything for everything that you've ever built? Or is it just this for the open play stuff for your kids?
I would say that for me, it would just be these are the bricks that kids get to play with.
When they're building stuff in random colors on, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So no price yet, but, you know, I mean, they just announced it. So the smart bricks, I'm really looking forward to that. The other cool thing that I found, you know, the company Poo-Pourri, they do the bathroom air fresheners.
Poo-Pourri? Yeah. What's Poo-Pourri?
Seriously, Poo-Pourri. It's a real company and they make all these different types of air fresheners for your bathroom so that you can neutralize, all the odors. And like, seriously, this is a legit company.
It really is. I'm looking at it. I can back you up.
Yeah. So they have a new product that they just announced because they're getting in on the whole work from home thing. They have a new desk setup that goes into your restroom, your bathroom, so that you can work from the loo. And they've got these great add-ons you can get for it. So, you know, like you can have a footrest on it.
Morning motion desk.
Yeah, you can. They call it the do desk, and so you can add on things like you could even get like a little microwave that attaches to the side, so you wouldn't even have to leave your desk to go eat, and you can get a ring light with it so that you're set for all of your web meetings. And I think this looks like a really great thing.
Too bad it's already sold out.
I have to say that having spent 6 weeks on codeine, when you go and sit down, it can take a little while for things to start moving. So that seems like a great idea.
Yeah. So, but you can see why I couldn't pick between these two.
No, absolutely. Good pick. We'll go back to Ian then. Ian, your cool thing.
My cool thing is just a normal thing. I'm not as cool as anyone else's, but these nice little light I've got here.
Right.
Got a magnifier in the middle of it and get it from Amazon.
A light with a magnifier?
Yeah.
What, so when you look at it, it brightens it even more?
So the light is bigger?
No, there's a ring around the outside which is lit, and there's a magnifying glass in the middle. And then because I'm old and I want to look at small and tiny things underneath my magnifier, it lights them up when I look. Therefore, I have the means to see and fix small watches when I do my hobbies.
Have you picked something real?
Yes, sorry.
You?
I couldn't find anything silly, so I went for a real thing.
I thought you got the memo and all.
Had I known, I would have given you one of mine.
I have plenty.
Oh, jeez.
Go on, someone's always one, isn't there?
Bob's thrown his teddy in the corner and pissed off out the chat room. Granny's gone and picked something real. What's the point, eh? What's the point? he put the link in the chat room as well, just for good measure. Thank you. Patrice.
So I originally wanted to pick something that this new 3-ply from Duolingo. But since I haven't shipped it yet and I haven't tried it yet, I'm not sure. I want to learn another language, so it would be cool. But since they don't have it, there's a new app out there that I'm really excited about. It's called FanFan. If you know Guillaume Rambo, like from Air Buddy, or what's the other one? He does like Air Buddy, Fusioncast, TB Studio. Like he does some really, really good Mac apps. And there are people out there that bought the new M1 Macs and now are missing the fan sound because the fan, I mean, either it doesn't have a fan or it does not turn on. So he just put out a very simple app that turns on, like that simulates the fan sound. It's amazing. Like, I mean, I don't have an M1 Mac, and if I run it on my Intel Mac, it just tells me your fans are already running. So
does it just run like Vilio, or does it react? So like if you're running Final Cut or something and it knows you're rendering, does it change the sound of the fan?
Since I haven't been able to test it, I don't know, but I hope so.
Like, I wouldn't want it on takeoff speed all the time.
That's what my one is.
I hope maybe that's a version 2 where you can like change the settings and so on. Right now it just turns on. Like it just like this. Like it's not full speed, it's like a little background sound that you get. Like it's great for podcasts. Like I mean, we're just so used to like hearing the fans on podcasts. It's not too silent. So this app, it's free. Like you can just download it. Yeah, as I said, simplest app in the world, but it's a really great idea. And he just whipped it out. So go download FanFan.
Does it make your M1 Mac run hot?
No, that's a cool
thing.
It just
sounds like it.
It just sounds like it.
I just thought it might make it run hot as well. That way you could keep your hands warm.
No, you will. As I said, you can send him some suggestions. Maybe in the next version he will add that. So far, it's the sound only, which I said, that's what most people, what I've heard, most people are missing. Yeah. So
call me cynical, but I reckon that'll take a year to get back. and Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, Sony has developed an actual Ghostbusters proton pack.
Oh, wow.
So the parent company, Columbia Pictures, announced they've developed the proton pack. And it captures the ectoplasm matter that you saw in the 1984 movie. And it's equipped with state-of-the-art miniature supraconducting synchrotron, which accelerates injected... I'm reading this from the website.
No kidding, really?
Really?
Which accelerates injected protons from a hydrogen plasma cell. Superconducting temperatures are maintained by liquid helium reservoir and an active psycho cooler, which operation... They could use this for that bouncy thing of Jeff's. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Have you seen the real lightsaber on YouTube?
Yes.
The real lightsaber on YouTube. That is scary. It's got a little short plasma, then it cuts through safe balls and all sorts.
It's really scary.
It is really scary.
It's also really cool.
But how much energy does it use? I mean, this works. I've got the double A's.
It's like a proto lightsaber, meaning the power source can't be completely inside the hilt, so you have to wear a special battery pack, and there's a cord that goes from the saber hilt back to the battery pack for the extra power.
But it's effectively a plasma lance.
Plasma cutter.
But it's controlled to a specific length. It's just amazing. You got to watch it. Real.
It looked really scary. Like that battery pack, I don't want to wear that.
Yeah, you wouldn't wear that. Imagine your body coming apart at a million miles per hour. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Unquote yours as well. Rich, what have you got for us, mate?
One last thing. Oh, I haven't put it in the chat room. Hang on, bear with me. I'm slow tonight. Told you I was brokenly tired. Anyway, this is from Cujo, who are a company that make boots, which I'm looking at now and actually need to get some of because they look pretty cool. They've announced, you know how you never have enough pockets?
No, true.
Well, they've announced cargo pockets, you know, like in cargo shorts, those big pockets, but for shoes.
Go on.
Oh, can you imagine? And so
these are great little handy cargo pockets that just attach to your laces. There you go. Two extra pockets on each foot.
Am I not seeing these?
I have a question about that. Yes. I mean, for the women out there, are those real pockets or like those tiny little women's pockets?
No, they're the same pockets for everybody.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
You that's keep things in the light.
My wife like, goes on endlessly about how cool it is when she has any garment with pockets in.
Yeah. So now you could carry things like switch cartridges, a coin.
A coin and AirPod.
Yeah.
Your
lightsaber.
Like
yeah.
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 Your proton pack.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Spare
bit expensive, though.
It's a great idea. How much is it?
I can't find the link.
They haven't announced the price yet.
$120.
That's pricey.
That's a lot for just pockets.
Is it a physical attachment or is it something like Velcro, though, where you could lose it?
It kind of hoops round the laces from what I can see.
Okay.
Oh, so you just thread it through your laces and catch it on. Oh,
yeah, so I assume you could add these to any lace shoe.
Wouldn't it flap about when you're running, though, and all the stuff come out?
Quite possibly. Well, no, my solution would be don't run.
Why have they got a couple of Apple AirPods? Is that what it's for?
Well, that's just like one of the many things you could put in there, isn't it?
I don't think I'd put my Apple AirPods in there.
Swamp Rat has come out with an actual pearler of an opportunity for an application. Speaking of sounds in podcasts, could we have a squeaky chair generator, please?
We've already got one, mate. No, and
there already is one. Right?
We've already got one.
Can we do a sort of a group test? Everyone sort of contribute to buy me a new chair.
No, go buy some WD. We'll all contribute to buy some WD-40. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the wheels has fallen off. I need a new one.
Let's replace it with a brick.
128 quid, mate. Yeah. I'll get you a new chair. And 99 quid. 28 quid will get you a chair, but it'll fall apart.
No, I want a nice one.
Where can we get a hold of you, Ian?
Mm-hmm.
Where can we get a hold of you?
You can get hold of me in all the usual places. So I will be in the Slack room every now and again. I'll be here, mostly here, on the big show. And also, I'm on LinkedIn as Ian Grant, doing training for Commvault as usual.
Yeah, excellent.
That's most places you can get, mate.
Grumpy Bob's gone from the chat room, by the look. Jeffrey, where would you be?
Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And here on the big show, I am... stepping in for you tomorrow, correct? On the
you are,
show?
Mate. Yes, it's a bank holiday here, and we've got some stuff to do. So it's you back in the hot seat for the back show, please.
Woo!
Don't forget
so
the time change,
for the
dude.
Back show, herding cats tomorrow. And
don't forget to the time change, though.
Yeah, well,
we did daylight saving.
I wouldn't have shown up at the right time today had you not made an announcement in the Slack room. Anyhow, lots of shows. Google me. I'm easy to find.
Yes, absolutely. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show and tomorrow and every week on the Mac Show as well. All the like social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee or something else, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. And by the time this episode is out, there will be a new episode of Foodie Flashback as well, so go listen to it, foodieflashback.com.
Good, mate.
What else?
Rich T. Switch, where would you be, mate?
Well, unlike Jeff, don't Google me. Those accusations were unfounded. But you can find me on Twitter at Barking and on YouTube, Early Morning Barking. I'm there.
Right. And last but by no means least, Squeaky Boy himself, Muller Biker.
Well, once PC World opens, I might go and buy a new chair. I've got some money for it now. But they're not open. I can't buy a chair, can I? And I want to sit in one first. Anyway.
Aren't there chair shops?
They're not open.
You don't need to sit in them. They're adjustable, you muppet.
Oh, you want to test them out. You want to put your bum in there and make sure it's okay. I mean,
what is sitting in a chair for 5 seconds going to tell you? Nothing.
Well, it'll tell you whether it squeaks or not.
Well, that's right. At least if it's crap, I could take it back to the shop. Anyway, I'm Muller Biker on Twitter. And Muller Biker in the chat room, and then Muller Biker in whatever. I'm everywhere. I'm not on many podcasts, though.
Good. I can tell why. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me, Ewan Rankin, on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. Carl Swagger does The Daily Show every day, Monday to Friday. If you'd like copies of that, then head along to the feed and subscribe. You can also get that on your Amazon Echo. We do pay for that, though, so we need $250 a month to pay for Carl to do that show for us. We're running a bit low on funds, so if you'd like to donate, please subscribe to the network. All of the podcast pages have got a subscription on there. Give us $5, $10, or $20 a month, and all of that goes towards paying Carl to do the show. So please, please, please make sure you do that. Without that, again, Carl just goes away. He doesn't have the time to record us. We're back again next week, normal time, 7 p.m. on Thursday. Jeff's here with the Mac Show tomorrow. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the bank holiday. Thanks for listening. Jesus, I need to be wild to drop in the chat. Grumpy bastards.
Ian.